You know, I was reading an article the other day about peace, since that is the theme today. I was reading an article about peace, and it told the story about a city in Finland that has a special tradition that's over 700 years old. In this city, they have this proclamation called the Declaration of Christmas Peace, and they have this declaration that they recite every Christmas Eve at noon. And it's declared in the city of Turku. And the proclamation is read. It's usually read by like a city official in the historic town square there. You know, some prominent building is broadcast on the radio, television, and obviously now the internet as well. Well, here's the proclamation. Here's what they proclaim on Christmas Eve. They say this: tomorrow, God willing, is the graceful celebration of the birth of our Lord and Savior, and thus is declared a peaceful Christmas time to all. By advising devotion and to behave otherwise quietly and peacefully. Because he who breaks this peace and violates the peace of Christmas by any illegal or improper behavior shall under aggravating circumstances be guilty and punished according to what the law and statutes prescribe for each and every offense separately. Finally, a joyous Christmas feast is wished to all inhabitants of the city. So that's their pronouncement. In other words, you know, enjoy Christmas Day, celebrate the coming of the Prince of Peace, but don't you dare do anything illegal or we're going to punish you harshly. You know, you're like, okay, well, that's... Some of you may be thinking, that's kind of how my Christmas gatherings are with my family. They say, son, we're going to gather together, and you better not do anything to ruin it. You know, keep the peace. And I don't want to hear about how bored you are. I don't want to hear about how much your cousins are annoying you. We're keeping the peace. And you think, is that really what peace is all about? I mean, is it just about absence of that which annoys me? You know, absence of disruptive behavior or conflict? Is that really what Jesus came in to bring, you know, that type of peace? Well, to gain a better understanding of the biblical concept of peace, what I want us to do is I want to look at a passage in the Gospel of Luke. And what I'm hoping to do this morning is to get a better understanding of the biblical concept of peace and also how we can experience that peace in our own lives. And so what I want us to do is look at this passage, and then I want us to zoom in on something that the angels say. And then I want to zoom back out to look at the biblical concept of what they say and its connection to Jesus. So look with me at Luke chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 8 through 20. It's a well-known passage to many of you, one that is very popular among this time of year, within this time of year. So let's look at Luke 2, beginning in verse 8. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." And the angels went away from them into heaven. The shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they had made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. And so in the passage, we see the angels appearing to the shepherds and informing them of the birth of the promised Messiah, the Christ. And after they make the announcement to the shepherds, it says the angels praise God. And then in verse 14, it says, they say, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." And so we see the angels making this connection between the coming of Christ and peace on earth. And so I want us to consider what the significance is about that connection. And to do so, I want to now zoom out and let's try to understand the biblical concept of peace. What does the Bible mean when it talks about peace? And then we're going to look at how that is connected to the coming of Christ and in turn how we experience that peace. So let's consider first how the Bible defines peace. The concept of peace is full of meaning and is found throughout the scripture. In the Old Testament, the primary word that is used for peace is the Hebrew word shalom. And maybe you've heard this word before. In the New Testament, the primary word that is used for peace is the Greek word eirene, which means peace as well. But these two words basically encapsulate what the Bible means when it talks about peace. But the biblical meaning of peace goes beyond how we tend to define peace. You're like in that Christmas proclamation from Finland. Peace is not just the absence of conflict or crime or annoying behavior. Surely that's part of it, but that's not all that it is. The concept of biblical peace is this idea of wholeness. It's completeness. It's not just the absence of conflict, but it involves the restoration of something. And it means that, you know, things are the way they are meant to be. And so when you're experiencing peace, you're experiencing things the way they are meant to be. And so to get our minds around this concept, I want to tell you a story about our clothes dryer. Because I can't think of a better way to define peace than that. You know, about a year or so ago, and I'm sure the family will remember this, our clothes dryer began making this extremely loud squealing noise. Y'all remember this? Anytime we would run it, okay? It would make this extremely loud really loud. Now, you don't have to be an appliance repair person to know, this isn't right. It's not supposed to make that loud squealing noise. It's super loud. And our dryer's on the back porch. And so it's not even in the house, but you're in the house thinking, what is that noise? It's so loud. That was our dryer. Now, here's the thing. To simply put it, the dryer was making this loud noise and it wasn't working properly. Something wasn't working right. You know, we all kind of know that. And so there's a couple of solutions to this. One way to get rid of the sound and try to experience some peace is to cut the dryer off. And that works for a little while until when you have wet clothes you need to dry. You know, it doesn't work for a long time. That's not really the solution. But actually, on a side note, let me just say this. As I was thinking about this, unfortunately, that's how some of us deal with the squealing noises in our own lives. We just try to cut it off, you know, ignore it, distance ourselves from it. And sometimes, you know, unfortunately, we even get used to the noise, thinking that this is the way things are meant to be. And we just try to kind of cope with the noise. But that is not the kind of peace that God offers us. You know, there's a biblical term for trying to deal with the problem that way. It's called the hardening of your heart. It's the ignoring of the noise. It's the ignoring of the friction and just trying to cope with it instead of dealing with the problem, which is not the way God offers his peace to us. So going back to my dryer. My dryer wasn't experiencing peace. It was not happy. And we weren't either, in matter of fact. And the reason why it wasn't experiencing peace is because my dryer was not working according to its design. Something was wrong. Something was broken and not working properly. And so in order to restore my dryer and bring peace, I had to take it apart. I'd never done that before. But I figured, hey, I watched a YouTube video or so, and we were going at it. And so I took it apart, and I found the problem. You have the big drum, you know, where you put your clothes in. Well, there's a belt that goes around that drum that spins it. Well, it also spins around this little pulley, this little plastic round wheel that the belt goes around. And in the middle of this round wheel, there are some metal bearings that I'm sure are very lubricated in there so it can spin almost frictionless. Well, something went wrong with that little pulley. And so every time that wheel would spin, metal would just rub together and create this extremely loud squealing noise. And so in order to bring peace to my dryer, I took that pulley off and put another one in its place. Bada bing, bada boom, cut the dryer on. It worked. And I was very proud of myself for doing that. And we were all at peace. The whole Jones family and the dryer, we were at peace with one another. But here's my point. You know, peace, biblical peace, is not just stopping the squealing. But it's restoring, reconciling, repairing the problem. It's not just doing away with the noise, but it's enabling us to work according to our design. And that's what happened to my dryer. It was not experiencing peace because there was something broken. There was friction being caused there that was creating a great amount of noise. But to bring peace was not just getting rid of the noise, but it was bringing about restoration so the dryer could work properly. And that, in essence, is what the Bible means when it talks about peace. And the issue with us, and the Bible speaks to this often, it tells us that, you know, there's a lot of noise in our world. There's a lot of noise coming from our own lives even. A lot of friction that's being caused by sin. And this is where the connection between biblical peace and Christ come into play. You know, our situation, the Bible says that our situation is so bad that there's no way for us to bring about restoration on our own. That's the reality of our situation. We can't bring about the restoration on our own. We can't deal with the broken pieces. We can't deal with the noise on our own. Now, here's the thing. Now, you may be able to experience some degree of peace in your life apart from Christ. But what you need to understand is that is a temporary experience. And that peace is very limited. And here's what I mean. You know, the Bible tells us that on our own, we are unable to restore our relationship with God. And so you may, you know, Google how to experience peace, and you may learn some techniques, you know, think positively, breathe deeply, listen to soothing music, that kind of thing. And you may learn those techniques that, you know, may calm you down. But that's not going to deal with the loud squealing noise that's coming from the friction between you and God. You know, trying to experience peace without Christ is like trying to sit in my living room while my broken dryer is squealing loudly, thinking that, well, if I just think positive thoughts, take deep breaths, everything's going to be okay. No, it's not going to be okay. You're going to have to deal with the issue. And everything is not going to be okay between you and God if you don't have faith in Christ. And this is why. Because it's only through Jesus that God offers His peace. It's only through Christ that we can be at peace with God. This is why, and we heard it read earlier, this is why the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 9:6 said that the Messiah would be called the Prince of Peace. This is why the apostle Paul wrote in Romans 5:1, he says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the great evangelist Billy Graham, he produced a widely distributed gospel booklet that has helped numerous people understand how to become a Christian. Does anybody know the name of that little booklet? Steps to Peace with God is the name of his little gospel tract, little booklet that helps you just get a brief understanding, a simple understanding of the gospel. Steps to peace with God. And the fact is, no matter how you feel, the only way that you're at peace with God is through faith in Christ. It's only through Jesus that brings about, it's only through Jesus that God brings about restoration. Remember, peace is not just getting rid of the noise, it's about bringing restoration. It's not just stopping the squealing, but it's restoring the broken, so that the relationship is the way it was meant to be. And I just want to encourage you, you know, if you've never placed your faith in Christ, then I want to encourage you to do so today. Because that is the only way that you can be at peace with God. And God offers you His peace, but He only offers it through Jesus. Because Jesus is the one who has done the work to reconcile all things to Himself. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. He says, "For in Him," talking about in Jesus, "all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross." So it's only through the one who has shed His blood on the cross that we can be at peace with God. But I also want you to see that this peace that God offers extends even beyond just our peace with God, but it extends into our relationships with one another, and it extends into our relationship even with the creation itself. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 2:14. He says, "For He Himself is our peace," Jesus. "He Himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility." The context there is Paul saying, you know, you have Jewish people, you have non-Jewish people, but in Christ, God has brought us together as one, one man, one people. In other words, however you may divide up humanity, God has broken down the dividing wall of hostility. And so now there can be peace, there can be reconciliation, restoration of relationship in Christ. Then Paul says in Romans 8, verses 19 through 22, speaking of what Christ has done, even with our within our relationship with creation itself, he says this in Romans 8, 19. "For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now." So in a nutshell, Paul is saying that Jesus is going to not only restore our relationship with God and give us the ability to even experience peace with one another, but he's going to restore the creation itself, the world, all created things. He's going to bring about restoration. He's going to rid the world of the effects of sin. Paul says that this creation, the world, all that God has made, has been groaning like a woman in childbirth, waiting for the birth of the new world, the new creation. And then in Revelation chapter 21, if you look at that chapter sometime, you'll see that Jesus says, "I am making all things new." And then you read about the new heaven and the new earth, the restoration of creation. That's when all the squealing caused by all the friction of sin will be restored, and everything will be working properly. In other words, there will be peace, uninterrupted peace. But here's the thing. As I was just thinking about this, I don't know about you, but when you think about your experience of peace, you know, we live between the first and second comings of Christ, which is a very unique time. And what this means is that we will often have our peace interrupted. You know, our peace with God is interrupted when we sin. Now, in Christ, we are at peace with God in the sense that we are in right relationship with God. We are in His family, all because of what Christ has done. But when we sin, that does interrupt our peace. And the Bible says that one of the things that we do to deal with that is we bring our sin before God, just like we did today in the service, to confess our sins. He is just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and bring about restoration and healing in those areas. But that's a process. We're made right with God through Christ, but even in this in-between time, between the first and second comings of Christ, our fellowship with God can be interrupted by sin. Our peace, our experience of peace can be interrupted by sin. Our peace with one another. You all know this. Our peace with one another can be interrupted by sin when we sin against one another. Injustice. I mean, that affects our relationship with one another. We are not experiencing the fullness of what Christ has accomplished yet. That will come when He returns and makes all things new. But in the meantime, we're still kind of moving in and out of our experience of that peace with one another. Christ makes it possible for us to experience restoration and peace with one another, but it can be interrupted. Our experience with the creation, our peace with the creation, the natural order of things, our peace can be interrupted. I mean, just think about if lightning strikes your house and burns it down, that's going to affect your peace, right? If a hurricane comes through a coastal town and demolishes a city, or an earthquake happens and there's great devastation, you're thinking to yourself, this is not the way things are meant to be. When you're diagnosed with cancer, you know, your body doesn't function properly. You think this is not the way things are meant to be. It interrupts your peace because we haven't experienced the fullness of what Christ is yet to do yet. And so we're in that in-between stage where we're already, but not yet. We have some of what Christ has given us and we get to experience it to some degree, but not in its fullness yet. And so our peace can be interrupted. So until Jesus comes to us or we go to Him, it's likely that your peace will be interrupted. And what I mean by that is it's not unusual for Christians to kind of move in and out of their experience of peace. And maybe that's been your experience. Sometimes we have our peace interrupted. But what we must remember in the midst of our challenges, our struggles, is we have to remember this connection between peace and Jesus. You know, we must remember that although we may not experience perfect health now, we will experience that one day. You know, although we may not experience perfect climate now, we will experience it one day. We may not experience the perfect marriage now, the perfect family now, the perfect friendship now, the perfect church now, but we will one day. And the reason that we will one day is because of Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And since we have peace with God, we know that we will one day have uninterrupted peace with everything else. Jesus says in John 14:27, He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." And so the way that we can experience peace in the midst of our struggles is because Jesus has given us His peace. And this peace is more than just stopping the squealing noise, but it is the restoration of our relationship with God and the promise that He will bring about complete restoration to our relationship with one another as well as with all creation. And while we wait on the fulfillment of that promise, I want to leave you with a declaration of peace. Now, this declaration does not come from Finland. It actually comes from the prophet Isaiah. And this is what Isaiah writes. He says, "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." And so as you live out your days, seek to keep your mind stayed on God and peace will follow. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the truth that we are at peace with you in Christ. Thank you for the promise that we will be at peace with all of creation when Christ returns. But in the meantime, Lord, we pray that you would help us to experience peace, wholeness, restoration in our relationships with one another as we seek to live out our faith, live out forgiveness, love, grace, mercy, speaking truth. God, help us to experience restoration. Lord, help us to be good stewards of creation and everything else you've given us that we may experience peace. But Lord, we know that uninterrupted peace will only come when Jesus returns. And God, we are clinging to that promise even now. We thank you that you have sent your Son, the Prince of Peace, to bring about what we could not bring about, and that is restoration. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here that has not been restored in their relationship with you through Christ, that they would make that decision today to give their life to Christ and experience what it means to be right with you. And Lord, for those of us who know Christ, help us to live out the peace that you've given us, that we may experience it and help others to experience it as well. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.